The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 23rd of June 2017, and we got our good friend Dr. William Wong on, and we're going to bring him in momentarily after a few things I've got to read. But I want to thank everybody that has contributed to Motivation Muscle and Fiorello Barbell Company. It's greatly appreciated, and please keep it up where you want to be able to stay on the air without any interruption, obviously, with having to do outside tasks to keep putting money into the business. I feel that we really offer quite a service here, and I've never asked for anything, and anything you can do, I greatly appreciate it. And everybody, as of late, that have sent in money to PayPal for us, thank you very much. Very, very much appreciated. And this leads us to the first thing. Go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. Winner's Circle. Now, this has been a project I've been doing probably for 15 years with all different things. I've got so many new things I'm doing right now that make your head spin, literally. And there's going to be more and more of this put on here. But this is a product that is second to none. Now, we don't do video with it because I believe that education is foremost, and most people are not getting a lot of it. And with what you're going and playing around with here, it's pretty serious stuff. We can make video, but education is paramount. Now, the first module is called The Beginning. The second one is called Getting Started. The third one is Mental Fortitude. The fourth is Sandbag Domination. Number five is heavy specialization in shoulder pressing and bent rows. Number six, passion for what you love. Number seven, hands-on training. Number eight is big, powerful arms. Number nine is high shrugs and the straight arm pullover. Number 10, the return of the York iron boots. Number 11, strong stone strength. Number 12, love, passion, and my power rack. Now, when you order this product, you will get the 13th module free called Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. And if you hear me near the end of the show, I always make reference to what the Stewards of Strength are. Now, here's just a few things on that module. Learning what the true definition of honor stands for, where have all the men gone, why you should test yourself constantly, why strength is the foundation of your life, and why not stand out, stand apart, and lead the world. Now, even bigger news. We have seven gentlemen on here that are going to give you an hour free of their time when you purchase this product, and I call it seven for seven. Martin Janzix is the first one. Martin is a strength athlete, trainer, and renowned stone lifter and speaker who preserves the old world connections and traditions to physical culture. David Whitley is an old-time strongman, steel bender, trainer, author, and speaker, and the king of the bent press. Douglas Graham is an expert in kettlebells, maces, clubs, powerlifting, and he's a coach at Art of Functional Movement Academy with our good friend Powell Wadudo. Yours truly, who will be in here momentarily, our good pal Dr. William Wong. He's a classical naturopath, a PhD, an exercise physiologist, certified sports medicine trainer, speaker, and the World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member. And he is also... I would implore you, we'll have to talk about that when he comes in. He's got a two-disc set right now. I know if you buy products from him, I'm pretty sure that's sent with it. I will verify that still. You got to go out and listen to his whole thing about enzymes. It is absolutely incredible. I have two neighbors right now that have them that have had some problems cancer-wise and things of that nature. And I sent it to him. One is an RN, and the other one is, too. And I haven't heard back from him yet. but I'm very anxious to see what their feedback is and what they're going to do. So I would implore you to get a hold of Dr. Wong and find out what is up with that, but we'll find out when he comes in. Clint Darden, strongman, Olympic lifter, trainer, stone lifter, and the voice of the House of Biceps. And I'll tell you something about Clint, and I don't know if Dr. Wong knows this, but he's going to know, and anybody else who doesn't. Clint has been going through chemotherapy for like 3 years now. This guy, you want to talk about warrior and lifting? Holy Christ. I mean, you talk about admiration for somebody. I admire this guy like none other, man. And besides that, he is a super, super gentleman. Paul Firepower Gray, another great guy that was on here yesterday. Paul is the owner and head trainer of Firepower Gym, a mobility trainer and an accomplished martial artist with over 30 years training in various arts. Our good friend Frank Delventhal from Germany, who will be on here next week. Frank is a stone lifter, steel bender, and a kettlebell competitor and trainer. So go out, change your life. You know, we're going to talk about neutered today, and I can bring that into everything. But when you go out and you grab the winner's circle, believe me, it is life-changing. I stand behind it 100%. Now, the big thing, I thanked everybody that has contributed to M&M and FBC. Now, if you do that, you can go out to our contribution page, and for $25, you can get the first module free called The Beginning. Some of the great things that are on this is Obliterating Obstacles, Success Manifested, Overcoming Roadblocks, and The Power of Optimism, and damn, we need that right now. If you contribute $50, you get The Beginnings, and you get a half-hour free consultation with me, and we'll go over anything you want to do. If you give us $100 of contribution, you will get The Beginning module again, and you'll get 2 half-an-hour free consultations with me. And there's no bullshit here. I will help you out big time, big time. Also, too, for anybody that wants to just buy me a coffee or a lunch, you can go to PayPal. My PayPal account, which is FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Anything you'd like to contribute would be really appreciated. But those three contribution levels go right to PayPal. So there's no muss, no fuss. All you got to do is connect to there, and away we go. And I'll tell you, there's 12 modules on there. If there's any one you go out and you want to see and you just want that module on its own, contact me. We'll work something out. I want to help everybody. We've got solutions. I've got the key to it. Come aboard. And I'm telling you, you'll be very, very happy with everything. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and listen to all the shows Dr. Wong and I have done. Phenomenal amounts of material. I mean, almost 700. We'll be up 3 years approximately the end of September. Most podcasts last 30 days, folks. I am the exception, and I've done it with nothing. I've gone through almost 80,000 of every DOM I ever had, and if that isn't enough to convince you I'm serious, I don't know what else is. But I'll tell you what, when you hear Dr. Wong and I today talk about neutered, you're going to even probably discover more things about he and I. I'm going to give you a little information about him, and then we will bring him right in. Number one, he's a classical naturopath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, certified athletic trainer, certified sports medicine trainer, World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, and World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. And before I bring him in, I've been listening to this stuff all day and posting, and I'm going to say like this. Feeling strong now. Got it. Dr. Wong, welcome to the show, brother.
How you doing? Thank you for having me on board.
I'm good. Give out the website, anything I missed, and we will start on neutered, please.
Sure. Folks can hear my podcasts, which we have been a bit delinquent in updating. I apologize about that. The rest of the shows for last year and all of the shows that I've done on my shortwave radio shows for this year should be posted on that on drwongradio.com by the end of July. We have had a serious backlog in all the things we have to do. Plus, we've had to rebuild a couple of sites from scratch because certain glitches had gotten into them. And we're on the tail end of that, thank God. And hopefully, we will have caught up by the end of July. So you can hear me rant and rave at drwongradio.com. You can read my writings on health and natural health and acquiring spirituality and on masculinity and martial arts at drwong.us, drwong.u as in United, S as in States. And if you want to take a look at our supplements, you can go to drwongsessentials.com.
And it's some damn good stuff. I can testify to it. And our good friend Steven Santangelo will send people to Dr. Wong. And Steven and Dr. Wong are really the only people I'm connecting with anything with supplementation. I get things sent to me, and I appreciate that. But I know where the stuff's coming from, and I've known them for quite a while. And you really got to put your trust in good things. And besides that, Dr. Wong's wife, Michelle, I talked to her for quite a while a few weeks ago. She knows what the hell she's talking about, let me tell you. And it's pretty interesting stuff she was telling me about a lot of different areas of just business. I'm not going to go any further than that because I might ruffle some people's feathers, so I'm not going to do that right now. Neutered. You can take it or I'll take it first. You decide.
Most of the kids in the millennial generation, most of the males, if you can call them that, don't have any balls. They may be XY genetically, but in their brains, they don't know where the they are. Today they can choose to be a girl. Tomorrow they can choose to be a boy. Next day they can choose to be a tree.
Or a tree. God knows what. Yeah.
But they are so friggin' confused. They think gender is a choice.
Yeah.
They think manhood or womanhood is a choice. They think that all the things that are natural to creation are choices. Sorry, the tree doesn't have a choice whether to pollinate or not, whether to sprout leaves or not, whether to grow seed or not. Neither do we. It ain't a choice. It's your genetics.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting when you talk about with choices and things of that nature. You know, I was telling Dr. Wong, everybody knows, I put out a singular podcast the other night about no balls. And it seemed, it must have struck a chord in a lot of people because there was an awful lot of response. Basically, it was a friend of mine, a very close friend, that I ran into recently, and I'm not even going to go into it much anymore because when I think about it, it makes me very sad in a lot of ways. And I'm not one of those guys that's going to be like, like that. It's nothing like that. But I know what the potential of Joe was, and I'm using an alias name, obviously. When he basically came over to me and we were talking, it was the same skin, I think, but it wasn't the same guy. And you know, giving me the spiel of, don't you think it's time maybe train down? You train. I hate that word fitness. Train for fitness. You know, blah 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 blah. And it was everything was everything with the whole diatribe from him was to me. It was like to stay away from what it truly was with all of us at one time, and what it still is with me, if not even more. And I have a feeling of a few things that are going on in his life, and I don't think they're good. And I think anytime you give up what your identity is, and I know you get married, you have a girlfriend, there's compromise. I got it. I've done it. But there's nobody that's going to take and smash my balls right through the ground. Nobody. Nobody. I don't care if you hit me with a pipe in the balls. You're not going to break them. All right? And this guy is neutered beyond neutered, all right? And I'm talking neutered. And I had a hard time not to really just go off on him, but I wouldn't, because I do believe down deep in this guy, that tiger's still there. I spent too much time with this guy. I trained too much time with this guy. He was no pussy ever. But it's funny what love can do to you, I guess, and twist you all up, and suddenly fitness and losing 70 pounds when you don't have any health problems and trying to tell me how great it is. I'll tell you right now, he'd get lost in the shadows. He looks like shit so bad. And it makes me nuts when I think about it. It saddens me and makes me very belligerent about everything. So when I talk about neutered here, I'm giving you a prime example of it. But I see it all over. You know, I'm not going to get political, but I see it all over the place. Whether the quote-unquote this party or that party, I don't know. I'm not strong. I don't know what to do. I'll put a pink shirt on, Sam. I'm going to go spend time with my family. Fuck you. That's what I say to you, right? If that's the way you want to live, go ahead. But someday when you look in the mirror and something comes out of you and says, you know what? You gave up a third of your life to be cool, as they say, to be part of something that means nothing, that will never care about you, that will never take care of you, that will never bond you with blood like a real brother will. You owe it to yourself right now, everybody that's on the fence or in that rat trap, whatever they call it, pajama boy, get out. It's all yours, Dr. Wonky.
If that fellow changed his manner of being for a woman, I can understand. But, you know, I'm sorry, no pussy is that good.
It's not.
You know, the forces that attracted him to that girl.
Yep.
In time, she will lose respect for him because, hey, I already manipulated this guy. Let me go manipulate some other guy. Let me go take some other guy and strip away his manhood and make him my slave.
Yep.
And you know, then I'll do it again, and I'll do it again, and I'll do it again. These women have fun turning men into jello.
Yep.
And when they drop them, then the guys are going, wait a minute. I changed how I was for you. Yep. You know, women go to the altar with the mindset that I will alter him.
Yep.
Didn't you love the guy the way he was to begin with? Why the frick did you marry him or go out with him or are living with him or going steady? You know, why are you wearing his ring around your neck if you want somebody else? I mean, are you going to turn him into what you want? Why don't you go the fuck find what you really want?
She doesn't know what she wants. That's the whole thing.
And that's the case with most women these days because they have this really oddball idea of what men are supposed to be given to them by the bloody academians in the left.
Yep.
I'm going to get political here. Fuck it. It's all these damn professors on the left who've been playing with themselves.
Yep.
For ages, who don't know what real sex is, who don't know what real relationships are, who've never had a job in their lives, like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
he
right.
He was 40 years old. The guy never had a job in his whole entire life. Lived in his mother's basement, for God's sakes. And then he becomes a congressman, and then he becomes a senator, and now he's running for president. But you think he knows anything about life?
Not a thing.
How can he talk about economics and what will build up a nation when he's never had a job?
Exactly.
The guy's never done shit. As opposed to Trump, who's built empires.
Yep.
Okay, now let's just compare here. All right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not holding up Trump as the ideal man, but I am holding Bernie Sanders as one of the images of these boy men, mm-hmm. these mushy jello men who have never experienced anything, but yet think they know everything, and who basically have no intestinal fortitude. If push came to shove. If you put Bernie Sanders on the front line of a battlefield, he would shit in his pants and run in the other way and hopefully get shot. But this is the kind of guy who hasn't done anything difficult in his entire life except for driving his Lamborghini. And, he got a new house from Hillary up in upstate New York that
yes,
I hear is by a lake.
Yes,
now,
he did. Yep.
I understand it's really, really, really pretty.
Yep.
For allowing himself to be cheated out of his primary votes, but let's not go there. Oh no! Wait a minute. Yeah, let's go there. If he really had any balls, even knowing that Hillary was going to kill his ass, He would have stood up and said, you're cheating in the primaries. I had these votes. Now you're stealing them. Hell, the Pew Trust. You can't get any more freaking communists in the Pew Trust and National Public Radio. They just came out the other day and said that Hillary had 24, 25 million ineligible votes. Yeah. Imagine if we would have actually made that gal president and then this news came out. Yeah. How the hell are you going to get her out?
Yeah.
But, you know, so Bernie acquiesced. And just like all of the men are supposed to be, just like all the men in the millennials and a good many of these Z's and the X's, you know, they're all supposed to be just nice and meek and kumbaya and more feminine than women are. And meanwhile, the women are supposed to be big, brassy, and ballsy.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. You know, ballsy. Testicles. Okay. You don't have any. You've got a couple of ovaries. You make eggs. We make seed. We thump our chests and go, oh! and you go, come here, baby boy.
Yeah.
Okay? And we have a great relationship. When it turns around, that's really screwed up. It's actually perverted. And if the directory of the DOM, the psychological manual that two guys from Harvard write, one of which has said that the DOM is so full of shit because there's no test to prove any psychological disease, but never mind that. They wrote homosexuality out of the DOM in 1973 because it wasn't politically correct and there was an agenda to wussify men. Yep. Now they're writing out pedophilia as a mental disease because all the homosexuals want little boys to fuck.
That's sick. Okay, so
extremely sick, but it's not going to be a perversion anymore. And if you call it a perversion, you're doing hate speech and you can go to jail.
Yep.
Meanwhile, some poor little 7-year-old who's getting his ass reamed, who's about to hemorrhage, who has no idea why this man is putting his Wally Wally into his backside, into his mouth, has got to put up with this shit.
Yep.
This is sick and fucked up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yet, go ahead,
The rest of us males are supposed to be nice and kumbaya. Oh, that's just a lifestyle. We can't criticize a lifestyle. Okay. It's a culture.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We used to castrate people like you.
Yeah, well, and you know something? This is what now you can go to a whole nother thing besides what we're talking about. This is a neutered society. This is men and women, but we're just going to hark on the men right now is this. There's so many of them that are just so misplaced now in the world. You can go anywhere and see it for yourself. This is not something we're making up here. Go to any place. I'm talking, well, the best place to go is any mall or supermarket. And I see it all the time because I've always been an observer. And you know something? If someone walked up to them and called them XYZ, most of them would just go, it's okay, no problem, and they would try to get out of there as fast as they could. There's nobody here saying to go out and smash anybody's face in, believe me, because I wouldn't say that in case somebody did do it.
But they'd like to smash our faces.
Exactly.
For being men.
For being all men,
these,
yep.
All these boy men are screaming at us, why are you the way you are?
Yep.
They're getting in our faces, but yet they've been told that people – you know, don't hit each other, but somehow they're allowed to touch you. They're allowed to scream at you. Yep. They're allowed to get in your face and hit you, and you are not allowed to do anything to them. That's just like in Europe when, you know, some white guy can't take it anymore, and he runs over a bunch of Muslims, and that's supposed to be terrorism, so the government says.
Yep.
But when Muslims do it, it's just a cultural expression.
Exactly. But you know something? I'm serious, too. I think silently the tide is changing on a lot of things because obviously you're not getting the truth from many avenues anywhere. It's corrupt everywhere. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we talked about this a lot yesterday, you know, when we did the show with Paul and Kirsten, I was telling you about with demolishing fear. And this came right from a woman's mouth, from Kirsten's mouth, and she doesn't cut any bullshit. She said the majority of men, now she lives in Scotland, but this, when you go more into, she's kind of on the outskirts, but when you go in the more, we'll use a quote, unquote, civilized areas, you see how these males, quote unquote, are, where they're very lackadaisic. You can see it in their eyes, the whole thing. And she's throwing out stuff everywhere. And I was like, son of a bitch, it's so refreshing to hear a woman say it. And she's telling these guys, literally, you better go get your testosterone checked. And these are guys 25 years old, all right?
Real women can't stand
it. They can't stand it,
they
right.
They want men.
Yep. Well, that's what I said to her yesterday. I
not
said,
"Not pseudo-lesbians."
No, yeah, no, no. It's like, this is what I said to her yesterday, because she sent me a great picture, Doc, of one of her little boys. And she said, "Eric, you're going to love this. There he is getting ready to go to bed in his Superman pajamas with a cape." You know,
there you go.
But, and she said, and I asked her yesterday, I said to her one thing, and you're going to love this. I've called a couple, quote unquote, well, they're women, I guess. You know, they're old. You know, they're in their 20s, 30s. I said, just not to them. I was like, yeah, and a couple of these girls. They said, what do you mean girls? I was like, girls, they're women. I was like, what is the difference? Well, a lot of women, when they're older, like to be addressed as women. I was like, I guess so, but I said I could care less. And the noise went for a little while longer, and I just said, fuck you, basically. But I said to Kirsten, if I call you a girl, am I going to insult you? She goes, hell no. She goes, I don't care. Girl, woman. I said, great. Because I said, now I'm going to call you girl/woman. And she started laughing, right? But she said the same thing to me because I asked her some questions, Doc. I said like this. You know, obviously she's married, but I said, would it bother you if you're out with a guy on a date, let's say a long time ago, and he held the door for you? She goes, absolutely not. What about dinner? He said you look nice, new manners, how to hold a chair out. You know, she goes, of course, holding doors, yep. What about telling you look great? Would that insult you? Because we know a lot of girls think that's some type of harassment you'll hear in today's world. You'll walk up to somebody or go out with somebody and say, God, you look great tonight. It's like, who are you talking to? And you're the, it's like, holy shit, I should have left you on the side of the road where I found you. You know what I mean?
A lesbian lover would say that to him, though they'd really like it.
So this is what I'm saying. And the people that, you know, we should be hearing from that aren't insulted at every turn, that like to be around males, that like to be protected, and they can be the I date women quite a bit. And a lot, I can't go out with really anybody unless there's some form of an athlete, and that doesn't even work a lot. But I will tell you this, I've never had one of them tell me that they never liked dating a guy, if this is for any length of time, that wasn't a protector. And this is coming from the quote-unquote strong woman, okay? Mm-hmm. So all this fictitious bullshit that's pushed out all over the place, and all this neutering where these guys, these pajama boys, have bought into it, and they can wear their sister's jeans, and they run dye through their hair.
Obama wore his mother.
Right, exactly. and this passes for males, for manhood. Hey, guys out there, I want to give you a little clue, and I'll bring Dr. Wong right in. What you're being fed is total bullshit, okay, number one. Number two, I'm going to break another news bulletin to you. Beep, 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 beep. Women, listen, guys, real women don't want some pussy ass in his sister's jeans or his fucking streak through his head. Just so you know, in case if you think I'm bullshitting you, go out and ask a woman what she thinks of you. And if she's got a set of whatever, she's going to tell you the God's honest truth. And hopefully you'll turn around, dye your hair back the way it was, and go out buy some fucking farmer's jeans, pussy. Take it, Dr. Wong.
What's the matter? The frothing doesn't look good?
Yeah. Isn't that
I spent a lot of money at the beauty parlor getting this done. You know, pretty soon, Wong's predictions.
Yep.
The economy is going to collapse.
Yep.
No doubt about it in my mind. This year, next year. Next year, the latest. This year, possibly, even with Trump, the economic figures that are coming out on employment and unemployment and income are absolute bullshit. If you want to see how much bullshit it is, go to shadowstats.com. Mm-hmm. When the economy collapses, people are going to go nuts. The streets are going to be filled with rioters. I don't live in a big city. Yep. There may be 600 people around me, and we're all going to protect each other.
Yep.
You know, but we're going to find out real fast who the real men are, and you're going to see all those women who thought they were liberated all of a sudden want some big, strong man to protect them. And they will get to the point where they will do and trade anything to get protected and to get their children protected and themselves fed. And then we'll see who the men are. Luckily, the left has always been vociferous. They've always yelled. They've always screamed. They've always had the limelight. The media has always given them the mic. Luckily, it has been true forever that there is a silent majority.
Yep.
You don't hear the vets coming back from Iran and Afghanistan, from Iraq and Afghanistan, bragging and yelling and screaming and marching and carrying on. If they did, the government would have fallen under Obama.
Yep.
Because there are 40 million vets going back to Vietnam. 40 million guys who know how to use a rifle.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. You can come up with as many communist limp wrist freaking protesters as you want. You're not going to stop 40 million determined men, especially the old guys, because they got really mean.
Yeah.
Fuckers like me? Yeah. Oh, shit. No, you know, these kids coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, they didn't torture, kill, maim, get rid of entire fucking villages the way we did.
Yep.
Shit, we had fun.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, so we're being very quiet. But we're seething and we're boiling. And luckily for the country, thank God, the younger generation, I don't even know what to call them, the post-millennials?
Yeah, I think something like that.
They are already turning into, these are high schoolers and junior high schoolers, they are already turning into the most conservative generation since World War II.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So you got all these people against all the fags and commies.
Yep.
Against all the testosterone-less men and the testosterone-filled women.
Yep.
And guess who's going to lose? Number one, the liberals can't shoot with this shit. The funniest thing in the world, go on YouTube or on Facebook and look at the Antifa videos of all these guys talking about their new martial arts and firearms training.
Yep.
And just try not to laugh so hard that you hurt yourself. It is the most pitiful piece of shit, you know, because, you know, you can take a big, strong guy and he can pretend to be a fag. You can't take a fag and have him pretend to be a man and have it work. It just doesn't happen that way. You can't take a guy who doesn't know he's a guy, doesn't know he's a gal, thinks he's somewhere in between, doesn't know which room to pee in, and pretend that he's a man and a fighter. So when the riots come and push comes to shove and the race war gets here, and I'm predicting a race war as well, we're not taking sides in the race war. We are taking sides in the other political stuff.
Yep.
When all that shit happens, it's the men, whatever color, whatever faith, whatever. It's the guys with the stuff hanging between their legs
and
the testosterone that are going to survive, that are going to win, and that, hey, listen up, guys, we're going to get all the women. Gals with the faggy husbands, they're going to figure out, this guy can't protect me and the kids. Shit, I need to go fuck that guy because he can protect me.
Yeah. Well, I got news for you. Whatever's going to transpire down the road, tomorrow morning, tonight at midnight, I'm just going to say like I always do, the best thing you could ever do is just take good care of yourself. Think good things. Know when to react if you must. But always, I always say this, and this is one of the most important things you could ever learn. Always know where the front and back door is wherever you go. Yep. Now, most people would probably scratch their head when they hear this and say, is that guy full of shit? No, I'm not full of shit. I learned that in martial arts when I was 10 years old. And I never forgot that because let me tell you, folks, that can save your life. And anybody that tells you when something bad's going down, and I'm talking bad, you take off out the other side. There's no loss of manhood there, because what you do is you come back another day, and there's always going to be another day. The most important thing is, if you're with people, to get them out and protect yourself and be ready for a new day. Because I'm telling you right now, one thing now, I am very cognizant of everywhere I go is, where are the exits? Where would I be able to go if I had to mount a defense? What would I do? Who's around me? Who am I looking at that would even come along? Really not many people, I can tell you that. But that's a whole nother thing. These are all very important things. And when you're very low in T, when you're very self-defeated, when you're walking around with fear everywhere, and a lot of that is from non-testosterone too. And there's other things. I mean, there's so many things, you know, when we talk about, you know, your adrenals are crushed. I mean, there's just so many things in that whole realm of that whole hormonal thing we're involved in that are not working right. A lot of that right now, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but if that stuff's not working, you're not working either, all right? And that's why I stress the physicality of things so much, of getting outdoors, of taking on tasks that are so hard that they're going to take years to get done and years to figure out how to do them. And there's no shame in that. If anything, it's the best thing you could ever do. I've been doing this stuff for years like that, and I've had very few people around me in the last 15 years. It's pretty much been on my own because of just circumstances, because of different attitudes, because of different ways to train. We've talked about things here that I'm doing. I'm doing stuff now that it's just, it's more off the wall probably than any of the years I've trained. And it all started because of a thing Martin Janzik said to me. If you can clean, lap, and press a 200-pound sandbag overhead, you can lift any stone in the world. I don't know. I've already hit a 144, but then, you know, we talk about the law of attraction. And I kept saying to myself, what could I build even bigger, denser, deeper, thicker, stronger? What would be more pulverizing I could do? So I'm going through my old magazines. I love to read them. I've got tons of them here. And of course, your ideas have changed in the last 10, 15, 20 years of training. And I'm going through what I've got of the Perry Rader Ironman. And I believe it was 1971 or 72 that had Casey Vieter on the cover. So I'm thumbing through this thing. And my God, there it is. Spinal erectors. And I'm reading this article, and it talked about, you know, they're trying to figure out how the Soviets were getting this deep, deep back, because the Americans, I believe it was Joe Doobie that went over to find out, who was quite an American Olympic lifter. And they all did the same things, the same lifts, the front squats, the, you know, everything. And they found they had this pommel horse set up. And the way they were putting a bar on their upper back and bending, they were laying on their stomach, was probably right at maybe below mid-navel. They'd go down with this thing, come back up. And it was building this spinal erectae like you wouldn't believe. So I'm reading this article, and there's a guy in there. I would assume he was an Olympic lifter. And it was definitely written about that area over there. And I look at this guy, and he's probably 198er. You should have seen the back on this dude. You could probably put a third of your arm between his spinal erectae. Well, the light went off again and said, let's start working those areas and a few other things. Let's start hitting the high shrugs up on the traps. And I have a glued ham machine from Michael Yeses, who went over and did most of the studying on that. He lived in Russia for a while. I got an original one, which I still think his was the best, period, hands down. And, of course, a few other things, the close grip, bent row, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I already know I've got major growth. 3 weeks in, and pretty exciting stuff. But the point of the matter is I'm getting to now, and I'll get right back to Doc, is this. When you have a vision, when you want to do things that are going to strengthen your resolve, strengthen others around you, when you have big, everlasting goals you want to achieve, all this neutering bullshit ain't even coming into your head. I got news for you. You know why, guys, this is why. Because you've built such inner quality in yourself. And you're going to have days like all of us where there's going to be days you're just going to feel like you've been driven right through the cement. But you're always going to have the ability to come back. It might not be tomorrow. It might be a week from now. But the thing is, you're never going to be neutered. You're not going to go out in public and put your head down. You're not going to walk by people with your eyes down. Two things I learned, too, from martial arts. Never walk with your head down and never walk with anything in your ears. Take it, Doc.
You mentioned Dr. Yesus's glute ham machine.
Yes, sir.
That probably is one of the niftiest versions of a Roman chair anywhere. The first time I saw someone doing hamstring work like that, it was Dr. Ellington Darden.
Yep.
And I think it was in an old Iron Man, actually.
Probably was, yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow. Yep. So this is R&J Health Club, same place Lou Ferrigno used to train.
Yep, yep.
And I rigged something like that up on the incline sit-up machine, and I'm laying face down on it with my feet there, and some of the old timers are giving me this really weird look. Yeah. And I try to come up and I almost tear my hamstrings apart.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But that, I remember pictures of Alexeyev.
Yeah. Yep.
On that pommel horse.
Yes, sir.
Doing his back extensions, Roman chair style.
Yep.
And just, ah. Yep. It's just inspiring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, yeah. Before I forget one thing.
Yeah, shoot.
You mentioned knowing both exits to a place.
Yes, sir.
Also follow one rule that John Wesley Harden and Bill Hickok forgot. You don't sit with your back to a door.
Never. You're right, too. Yep. Yep.
So yep. Remember those things. You know, my wife and I, we walk into a restaurant. She automatically knows not to take the chair that's facing the door because that's mine.
Yep.
Going back to the spinal erecti.
Yes, sir.
You can do either the straight Roman chair. My preference actually is for the 45-degree Roman chair.
Yep.
But either way, you know, if you've got an injured back, start on the 45-degree, work your way up to the high flat Roman chair. Either way, you can just hang there and let your lumbar articulations open up. Let those discs get some space. And take the pressure off of your sacroiliac joints, and it'll feel wonderful.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
No, all I was going to say is I remember reading all about that with Alexia, you know, with the pommel horse, with, you know, originally it came from, and when I talked to Michael Yesus multiple times before I purchased it, you know, lot those gymnastic, I don't know exactly what they call them. It's, you know, they look like broom handles all the way down the wall, and they're from top to bottom, and they climb on them and everything.
Oh, yeah.
What are they?
I worked in a gym where we had two sets of those. Yeah, I forgot.
You don't see them much
anymore.
What
they call the ladders, yeah.
Yeah, the ladder. And they said he'd lock his feet right in there, and I was told that he was using some pretty big weights. He'd grab it right off the floor, and you'd have to come up basically straight up with a little bit of an arch. Now,
yep.
I don't do a lot with the weights, what I did, because you got to be careful with this stuff. You know, if that, even though that thing's lagged in, if something ever went awry on you, could kill yourself, break your neck. I have rigged up now where I can use bands with it, and let me tell you, the resistance is just like a barbell. I think it's one of the greatest pieces of equipment you could ever invest in. And I am going to build two Roman columns. And my back was never small to begin with, but I have a whole different idea what I want to do here, how I want to put that sandbag overhead and how I want to lift the stones. And I want to say one other thing. I'll get right to you, Doc. I never knew, and I've always done stuff, but I want to clarify this. This is learning. This is when you're not neutered, you can think and learn. I never have realized the lower arm, and that's from the elbow down to your fingernails, how important it is to develop to the fullest extent of what you've got to lift not only a stone, but to just be a guy that can even handle himself if trouble went down. Because the weak point normally when you go to pull one of these big animals off the ground, and this goes for big deadlifters and everything, are going to be the fingers and the hands and the wrists. And if you don't have it, you might pull it up, but you ain't walking anywhere with it, and you're not going to complete 10 different stones probably to get it all done. And when I go back this time, there ain't going to be any failures anywhere. I've already made my mind up. So the whole idea of everything we do as men, to be the best version of men we can be outside in the world, protectors, people that really love one another, that want to help one another. And that's what we do. That's what we believe in. It's things like that when you've got a mind and a body that is working in unison, and one can't work without the other, and your belief system is huge. You know, whether you believe in God, whatever, if you believe in the maple tree down the street, the point I'm making in here is you have to have faith. And all these things we talk about with the snowflakes and all this other bullshit out there, you know what it is? I'm convinced of it. Number one, they don't have a great lookout about life at all. They've been sucked in. They listen to the same old crap day in and day out. They develop it. They probably don't have much family. That's probably a pretty good characteristic, or they've disowned their family. They've disowned anything where they have faith in themselves or anything else. They definitely see no validity in like what we do, you know, whether it's Doc Wong with, you know, Olympic lifting or martial arts or whatever. Same thing to me with stones, sandbags, lifting, you name it. It's all woven together. So they're very pliable, very easy to manipulate, and very easy to send out in the world and send their bullshit message everywhere, all right? Well, if you're involved in things like we do, there ain't nobody that's going to grab you and do that to you. And your balls are going to swing left and right when you walk. Go ahead, Doc.
You know, let's touch on grip again.
Yeah, go ahead.
My big complaint about the entire Nautilus system back in the late 70s and early 80s, I ran an executive health and fitness center in the Wall Street area. I had already been head trainer at a college. Now I was working on Wall Street with executives, and I got to meet lots of people who would later become infamous with the junk bond scandal.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one thing that, you know, Nautilus worked lots of different areas, but you didn't have to grip anything. There was hardly anything except for the curl machine where you actually had to use your hand strength for anything. And we had one fellow who was way ahead of his time. He was an accountant, also a lawyer, Steve. And Steve wanted to build not only his body, he wanted to build his grip strength. So he demanded, and we got a power rack.
Yep.
And that changed the entire atmosphere in that gym. When you don't use your hands for things, when you're not gripping, you can be as strong as you want everywhere else, but you can't transfer it to anything practical.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the best martial artists in the world, some of my senior Kung Fu brothers, and I'm thinking of one particular fellow who had some of the most beautiful Wing Chun I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. When you cheese out with him, you couldn't get anywhere. He'd beat the living crap out of you, leave you black and blue, but yet he got into a real street fight and he had his ass handed to him because he'd never done hand training. So when he hit a guy for real,
yep,
his hand hurt. And he goes, oh my God, my hand hurt.
Yeah.
One of the things that I incorporated into Wing Chun that I was severely criticized for until my guys started getting into fights was a version of Kyokushinkai's iron hand training. Mm-hmm. I would have my guys chain punching and back fisting and hammer fisting and whatever else for hundreds of punches a day on bags of pebbles and rocks, sand and rocks, that I had nailed onto oak trees.
Yep.
And they, yes, they got their hands torn up, and yeah, their knuckles grew all big and nasty looking, and everyone who looked at their hands could tell that they were martial artists.
Yep.
But yet, none of my guys ever had to hit anybody more than once in any kind of a fight.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't mean tournaments.
Yep.
I don't mean whatever. I mean real street fights where your ass or your girlfriend's on the line.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose, she's going to get raped.
Yep.
Besides, they're going to crap on you and probably kill you.
Yep.
Those kind of fights, they never had to hit anyone more than once because they weren't there for the second punch. They were 6 to 8 feet away flying through the air.
Yeah.
With broken jaws, with twisted up necks, with crushed sternums. That's power.
Do you remember? I remember reading things, just martial arts, our teachers telling us and stuff, and I never forgot it, Doc, was I don't think people realize this. You can disable somebody just with your hand.
Yeah,
and people don't they like kind of laugh. I'm like, when you got fingers like daggers, when you got a hand that is so developed and hard, and you go, you know, your whole arm, obviously, but when you're talking right from your elbow joint down, and you have a forearm that is just absolutely muscular as hell, you're going to hurt somebody when you hit them or grab them, because, you know, most people don't realize, you know, like one of the things I love to do, and I'll do it until I can't even twist it anymore. Very simple, very cheap. And get it any Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever. I'm not getting paid to mention them either, but I want to make a point. Go down and buy one of those big buckets to wash your car with. I think they use a lot of them for sheetrocking. And fill it with water, and I'll go and get a mid-range towel, soak that sucker wet and heavy, and start twisting the life out of it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see some strength. And another thing I do on my front porch a lot, you know, you get so many of these magazines and this, that, and the other thing, or a newspaper. If you don't mind getting ink on yourself, twist the shit out of that. I'm telling you right now, you'll get a forearm blast like you've never had before. Simple things like that will just make you absolutely unstoppable. You know, and I know a lot of people like to do bending. I have some light steel out there, and I do that. But, you know, I've got every piece of apparatus pretty much that you can buy for grip, for fingers, wrists, the whole thing. I'll tell everybody right now, if I had to invest one thing, I would tell you to go and buy an Apollon axle. 2-inch, 3-inch bars, they're pretty deadly when you can get real good with them. And I've been making a big move into them again. And I can tell you, when you use implements like that, let me tell you, you're going to know you did that for like 3 days. Every single part of you will be stressed to the max. And I'm talking your fingers like nothing you've ever felt. That's if you're doing things like suitcase deadlifts, which would be an outside of your leg deadlift. You would grab the Apollon in the center, push off on the free arm, on the free leg, and stand your ass up. Or if you're doing things like I'm doing right now at all different levels in the power rack, I take an Apollon axle or a 3-inch bar from all different heights in it, load it up to whatever I can do for the day, grab it in the center. I push off on one of the 4x4s, obviously, and see if you can move that bitch right off the damn rods. Extend it all the way out, put it down. I'll tell you right now, your body will look different just doing that one arm, but it hits everything from head to toe. you know, whether you're overhead or you're doing a suitcase. You want to talk about economical lifts that really graduate you to the next level, like where Doc is saying, you know, fill a bag with stones and punch the son of a bitch. I'm telling you right now, little things that you would never think of. I love rolling Atlas stones. And people are like, what the hell you do that for? You know, everybody's heard of the bear crawl. I do like a bear crawl with an Atlas stone. Try that sometime. Or what I like to do is I call it around the world, as they would say in basketball. I'll take that Atlas stone and keep going in circles with it till I fall down because I'm so dizzy. Go ahead, Doc. Take it.
Yeah, there's a form. Wing Chun only has three empty-handed forms. The third form is called Biuji.
Yep.
It's called shooting fingers in English. And most of the teachers now are teaching that Biuji really isn't a strike. You're not supposed to hit anyone with the front tips of your fingers while it's in a knife hand position because the fingers might break. Oh,
yeah.
Part of the wimpification of Wing Chun, it's a woman's art to begin with. Yes, I know.
Yep.
But even if Yim Wing Chun, if this woman who was trained by a Shaolin monk could do Biuji and kill people,
mm-hmm.
Why can't guys do it? Why are guys' fingers so damn delicate that
yeah.
they can't do it? So you were saying before that you can control people with your fingertips. With Biuji, the ultimate in Wing Chun is to walk around, not even in a stance.
Yep.
And you've got your hand in what looks like you've got two fingers extended and your thumb right on top of the whole deal. Your ring and index finger are kind of curled in under. It's called the old man pointing the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basically poking acupuncture points. I've seen guys do this in bar fights.
Yeah.
And they leave a trail of bodies behind them. and so, but you can't get there.
Yeah.
Unless you train your fingers in what Iron Palm calls dotting. And you basically poke your fingers into that bag of sand and rocks.
Yep.
And you get them to the point where your fingers are so stout.
Yep.
Your bones are so strong. Your ligaments and tendons are so strong. And then you back that up with forearm training, mm-hmm. like grabbing that 3-inch axle.
Yep.
And doing exercise with it. Gosh, you know, think of all the work your hand has to do just to be able to lift that thing and take it where you want it to go.
Oh, yeah.
You combine those things together, and you'll have this grip where you can just break dishes. The one of the ultimate things in Kung Fu was to prove how strong your hands were by grabbing a rice bowl around the rim just with your fingertips and crushing it.
Oh, wow.
Try that next time you're in a Chinese restaurant.
They probably come out with a machete and cut your damn head off.
Well, you know, the waiter will look at you. What you trying to do? You Kung Fu man? Or you make believe you Kung Fu man?
Yeah.
You break that here, you pay for it.
Yeah. Either that or we'll add some more soy to your dinner.
There you either. Go.
Yeah, I have to see soybean.
Well, no, sir. I don't want any more damn soy, damn it. God almighty.
Back years ago, back in the 60s, yeah. I was so impressed because Dave Draper and Sergio Oliva both had 17, 18-inch forearms.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, I couldn't get an 18-inch upper arm. These
yeah.
guys had 17, 18-inch forearms.
Yeah.
Ah!
Didn't I tell you when I was pretty young? I saw Sergio Oliva in one of the hardest core gyms that used to be around here that we trained in. We used to ride our bicycles to called the Steel Pier.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It was probably in the mid-80s somewhere. And I'll never forget. He still had that thick Cuban accent. He was the nicest guy. I think he said he weighed, I want to say like 266. And he apologized because he wasn't in good shape. to this day,
his idea of good shape.
He was the most enormous guy I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
And you should have seen him knocking chins off like they were toys. And I'm like, you know, when they said that He probably had a 23-inch arm. I'd have to believe that. I don't think to this day, I mean, and I've seen all kinds of lifters big. His structure was just absolutely huge everywhere other than his waist.
Yeah. 29.5 inches.
Yeah, unfriggin' believable. And the back on him and everything. And, you know, he was the coolest guy, too. I mean, I know that they were on a time and all that, and he's like, don't worry about it. He goes, we'll find a way. You know, I never forget Sergio Oliva, man. And, you know, we know the whole thing with that. I'm sure he, with Arnold and Weider, he got screwed over a lot of times.
Especially in 72 in Munich.
Yep.
Boy,
yep.
Did he ever get screwed over. Yes.
Yep. Did you ever see him competing at all?
Oh, heck, in 1971.
Yeah.
WBBG, Teenage Mr. America, Mr. World, Senior Mr. America, he was the guest poser.
Oh, shit.
I was in the teenage contest competing against Louis Ferrigno.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that didn't go well. But I got through the prejudging. I made it to the night show, and I got to talk to Sergio backstage.
Wow.
He was wearing white posing trunks,
yep.
and he was standing next to Chuck Kolaris,
yep.
who was a great bodybuilder power lifter. But one thing that I wanted to emphasize about Sergio, you got to remember, Sergio started life as an Olympic lifter.
Yes, he did.
He did all the standard Olympic lifts, and that's what gave him his great size and strength. You talk about him popping out chin ups.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
because of the Olympic lifts.
Oh yeah.
But Sergio was a really nice guy. By then, he was a cop in Chicago, and
yep.
I think he actually retired from the police force there.
He did.
Yep.
That was interesting.
He would all these junior kids there, all the kids for the Teenage Mr. America, they're just asking him questions and like idol worshiping, you know.
Yeah.
But he was the nicest guy, and I swear to you that his arms looked as big as his thighs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His thighs were 29, 30 inches big.
Yeah, he was you, and you know. It's too bad. I believe he died of cancer maybe around 3 years ago, too.
Ouch.
I mean, you know, it was a different time. You know, we talk about stuff like with Sergio and, you know, I've read things about Arnold. I've seen pictures of him when, I mean, he was like 260, 265. I liked him better. He was too smooth, obviously, to do a lot of the stuff, obviously, to compete. You know, they used to talk about how they used to go out in the woods and train and the whole thing. I mean, the philosophy of things were just so much different.
Yeah.
There just wasn't all this goddamn crap, you know, telling you this, that, and the other thing's no good and why do it. And this is why I think we've seen a lot of what came about. I mean, you know, when you think about Alexia and Redding and Ken Patera and just the greatness in all different of fields, you know, whether it's track and field or shot, you know, just different times, man. Just look at the old – we were talking about this on a show with Ken Nowicki a few weeks ago, Doc, about old World Strongest Man to today's. Now – it's okay, yeah, you see these giants and all that, but I'm not really down with a lot of the stuff they're doing. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you remember when they all competed, when it didn't just have to be strongmen. You had bodybuilders like Ferrigno, Colombo, you know, you had all different.
Football players.
Oh, yeah, everything. Yeah. And, you know, they're out there bending iron across their head. They're carrying refrigerators. They're blowing hot water bottles up. See,
right.
I think to me, and I don't know. I don't know what the selling point would be today. And the way everything's set up now, no one is going to let their athlete they own go out and do things like that because then the insurance policy would probably expire on them. And if they got hurt, it'd be a whole nother thing. But you know, when you look at those things with Kazmaier and John Paul. And all the way down the line with Capes, all these guys, Gary Taylor, even like the early 90s right into Magnuson for Magnuson, I just enjoy the modalities of it much better. It seemed much more realistic. And I think
– right now it's turned into an endurance event.
That's what it has. And you know what I think more than anything? I think they've kind of lost a lot of the audience. See – the older stuff, even though most of these people don't have a clue how to do it, the athletes were much closer to him in proximity, and I think that the communication was much better. I think they've lost a lot of that now, and, you know, things are set up for different athletes, I believe. Not saying that the other ones can't win, but they're, you know, Eddie Hall just won. I think it was much slower pace, et cetera, et cetera. And they also are lacking right now, and a lot of people are saying, well, Hafthor is probably the guy that, you know, could get people more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. I think he's definitely got the personality, and he's, you know, he's on, I can't think of the name of what it is, but, and then Brian Shaw, I mean, great guy. He's just quiet for the U.S. So, yeah, very interesting stuff. It's going to be very interesting to see how a lot of these things go. And this is why, you know, when we talk about neutered, I think this is why not only the weights at a young age, but what gravitated me to stone stuff so much. Obviously, Steve Jeck was the main guy because of the video I watched. That's what turned me in. I got to go to Iceland, all that. I think, you know, we've talked about all this stuff in the past. I hate that word now, but I'll use it, primal. The things that are calling men, like when you put out mm-hmm. those great things about the Viking warriors and things like that. That's inherently in men. I don't yes. care. I don't care if you wear your sister's jeans. If you dive down deep enough and you get in with some different people, all that shit's going away.
You'll find a Y chromosome in there somewhere.
You will, because this is innate intelligence taking over now on you. And that is the thing right now. That's what's missing in a lot of things. But this is why, you know, when I tell you, okay, I'm stacking sandbags now in a warm-up. Well, why are you doing that? Well, not only does it help me with my warm-up, but think about my grip. Think about what I'm thinking about every time I'm grabbing a sandbag. 200 overhead, 200 overhead, you know, building the center of the body. I'm not using that fucking word core either. I'm talking build the center of the body.
You don't do that while standing on a rubber ball?
Oh, no, and I don't do it on a skateboard either. You know, that's the new thing now. On a skate. Now, think about that. That's like the idiots that would.
How do they get insurance for that?
Well, you got me. I know a local gym. I think I told you. They're using all those stupid, whatever they call those big round balls that I don't know if they're still in fashion. This was probably 10 years ago. There's a guy with a pair of 60-pound dumbbells in each hand deciding he's going to sit on that and do seated presses. What do you think happened? The ball fucking blew out, and I think he tore both shoulders, man.
Ugh.
He's lucky he didn't get killed.
I saw a YouTube with a guy doing squats on the.
Oh,
on
my
one of those
God.
Balls. And he's got an Olympic bar on his back. Mind you, he doesn't have any more than 135 on there.
Still, though, body weight 135?
And the ball blew up.
I don't mean to laugh either, but if that isn't stupidity.
You know, he deserves your laughter because the number one, the trainer's an idiot.
Yep.
Number two, the guy's an idiot for acquiescing to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I put the winner's circle out. They ought to be firing out the door. You tell me. I mean, it's a joke, man. And it's like I've told people, you know, there's been people ask me, well, I'm close to you. Why don't I come over? I was like, give me at least 48 hours notice. I'll be waiting here for you. They don't come. They don't come. And that's okay.
They don't have the stones.
No, and you know what? You know something else? It's gotten to the point where what I do, unless it was like, if you said to me, hey, I'm coming to New York for a few days. I want to meet up with you. What do you want to do? I'd say, well, get your ass over here, and we're going to play around with some stuff. I want to show you what I'm doing. Or like a John McKean or you know, like any of these guys. There's plenty, you know, Stevie Shanks, any of the stone lifters, all that stuff, you know. I think now I'm at that phase in my life where my head is going like 5,000 billion miles an hour right now. What do we want to do here? What do we want to build there? What do we want to try here and see if it works? If it doesn't work, what else could we hook up here? And when we're monetarily solvent as a motherfucker and we've got millions of dollars in the bank, I've got a list of equipment I'm going to build, Doc, that will blow your friggin' face off you. And I mean, when you see, and I'm going to talk to you about it down the road, when you see some of the ideas, you're going to be like, holy shit. You know what I mean? And this, to me, is what it's all about. I love it. I breathe it. I don't pretend it. And you know what? No matter what I have to do, this place is going to run and run for a long, long time. Both
good
entities.
Deal.
And you know from being there. You know, we're not going to go into any of the personal stuff, but you and your wife know what it's like, what I'm going through right now. You know, Steven Santangelo had a long talk with me the other night for a couple hours. And, you know, like yourself, that's what I said.
We started off life buying clothes from secondhand stores.
Yeah, yeah. And he said the same thing to me that you said. I mean, you guys have been there. You've felt... You know, you've dealt with people you thought were straight up that weren't. All these things, okay? All these things. And you know something? Sometimes they fucking hurt. And they hurt bad, man. And the first thing you do is get pissed and wish them whatever. Here's the deal, what I do now. I don't even worry about them anymore. But I do have that mind like an elephant. But I take that and I use it. Okay, so how are we going to develop the business more? How am I going to develop myself more? How am I going to be able to tell this and pass this on to people once we're really rolling, rolling, rolling? And I say to you, hey, Doc, guess what? Today we're going to do a live show. When I tell you that, then you know we got there for sure. So that to me is what it's all about. There's no neutering here. I don't come from that style of family. And don't get confused with having feelings for people as being neutered. I believe that weightlifters, and I'm just going to encompass them all in that, are not only some of the most generous people, but some of the best loyal people you'll ever meet in your life and people that have real feeling. Don't mistake that with being neutered, because if you back a dog in a corner, they're going to bite you. So, Doc, summarize anything you want. Take your time. Give out all your info. I will give mine, and we'll get ready for our next show, my friend.
You know, you take a look at the guys who have real heart. All these guys out there who are high voices, who are pushing for
all this social change and social justice and this and that and the other stuff.
Do they have real heart?
Exactly.
Would they go out into the middle of a battlefield and drag their buddy, their wounded buddy, back, knowing that they're going to get chopped up by a machine gun for so doing, but you're going to do it anyway because he's your buddy or because you're wearing the same uniform and you don't ever leave Marines behind?
Right.
Would you ever see these guys go out and get out of a car to rescue a dog by the side of the road?
Right.
Oh, no, I'll give my money to PETA. You know, all these guys talk. All the left wing always talks a great big deal. They love the masses. They love the masses. They love the masses. They don't give a rat's frickin' ass about an individual.
No, they don't.
Not a human being, not a dog, not nothing. They wouldn't really put themselves into a dangerous position to help or to save or to promote or just to support anyone because it doesn't fit their ends. They always have to have a political or a social end to it instead of just doing it because they're a frickin' human being.
Yep.
Real men stand up to the job of being real men. Yep. Real men, luckily, don't yell and scream and threaten to cut their penises off if Trump builds a wall. God, I can't wait till Trump builds a wall.
Right.
let these guys cut their weenies off.
Yeah, see you later.
But, you know, they'll cut their weenies off the same way that the movie stars are all going to move to Canada. They won't do it. They talk a good game. Nah, hell, they don't even talk a good game. They just scream a good game.
Yep.
And yet they don't do it. But real men are very quiet about what they do. They don't announce that they just save a puppy. They just bring a puppy home.
Exactly.
They don't tell you why they've got three purple hearts. They've just got them. They won't tell you why they lost an arm somewhere. It just happened.
Yep.
And those are the guys who are seething, whose energy is just there watching all the shit going on. And the anger inside of them is building. And it's getting to the boiling point. And it's about to blow. And when it does, we will see manhood flower again. I'm very disappointed in the French. But I'm waiting for the French to get so sick and tired of being run over by the Muslims that they find their manhood again. The Swedes have even started doing it. The Brits started it the other day. The Swedes have started doing it. The Sons of Odin and some of the more militant Christians have started counter-rioting. And boy, the counter-rioting is working.
Yeah.
So all these
little tiny social justice men and all these little tiny fag men and all these little tiny boy men
and all the vegetarians who are still eating soy and think that they're manly are going to get run the frick over, and they're going to be yesterday's news. They're going to be buried in unmarked graves in mass lots by history. Because history does not take kindly. Take a look at every empire in decay. It has had these boy men. This isn't the first time.
No.
Go read Gibbons. Go read, H.G. Wells' History of Man. Go read Toynbee especially. And you'll see that this is what always happens before the just at the end of each empire, whether it's Babylonian or Assyrian or Mesopotamian or Greek or Roman, the men get fagified and they get run over by a barbarian race. But if the guys find their gumption a bit, as the Eastern Roman Empire did, they can carry on for another 1,000 years. The Western Roman Empire fell in, I think, 475. The Eastern Roman Empire didn't fall until 1460-something.
Right.
Because they found their balls. They figured out what was wrong, and they fixed it.
Right.
We are at the verge of fixing it. And if anybody gets in our way, they're going to get steamrolled.
Yep.
If you want to listen to my further rants and raves, please go to drwongradio.com. My articles on strength, health, spirituality, and martial arts can be found at drwong.u, as in United, S as in States, and my supplements can be found at drwongsessentials.com.
Awesome. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Like I said, go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, Winner Circle. There's something right there that you can go out and crush it with. And if you're on the fence with your life, if you don't know what to do, that product there has got so much put into each module. I believe the every module other than the 13th one are over 30 minutes a module. And let me put it this way. Nothing was written there. That is verbatim out of my head the whole time. Try to speak for a half an hour with no script. Yours truly can do that, no problem. When Dr. Wong and I come on, usually I tell him what or he'll have something. That's like 2 minutes before we come on air. It's like that with everybody. You know, I'll say it. When you got good people and you got somebody good running the show, it can be done. I've had people that were terrified to come on here, that were big, strong people. They said after 5 minutes with me or less, they're comfortable as hell and it's going. So see, when you portray yourself and you believe in yourself and you're confident in yourself and you're not neutered, you can do anything, folks. I believe that totally. So go out, check that product out, buy it. We've already talked about the 7 for 7 gentlemen that are willing to give you an hour of their time, and also you'll get the 13th. Stewards of Strength module for free with it. Also, donations. We call them contributions, obviously. $25 will get you the beginnings. That's our first module in the winner's circle. $50 will get you the beginnings and a half hour of free consultation with me. And $100 will get you the beginnings and 2 half-hour consultations with me. Also, if you'd just like to buy me a cup of coffee or lunch, go out to PayPal, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and donate whatever you'd like. We're trying with all our might to do everything we can to get this thing steered into a very positive, positive cash flow direction. And we are, and we will, and we will succeed, because there's no other thing here for me to do. So it has to work no matter what. And it is, and it will. But anything you can contribute would be much appreciated. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Just go out and look at all the shows Dr. Wong and I have done. You could go and set a library up with just the stuff he and I have done. There is just so much information, and don't be afraid to go back and re-listen to them. You're going to learn something every time. Go out to Apple and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. If there's a show you'd like Dr. Wong and myself to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, or you can go right out to Motivation and Muscle and order up off there, too. Also, too, we're on AHA, which is a directory for all the cars that have the ability to get podcasting in them. AHA, Fiorello, Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7 is what we're under. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words of inspiration will change their life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And I'm telling you right now, don't take that for granted, what I say. Go up and just say hello to somebody and see what they're like. I guarantee you it'll be totally different than anything you imagined. Also, too, we're not going to hit that, but if you're going to go out and lift it today, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you are going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says, domination in blood red. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, I'll tell you what, today he could probably fill 2 gallons worth, believe me. Also, too, Frank Klein, greatest business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who we lost almost 3 years this year to cancer, would walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on your best or worst day and not smile. I'm telling you, you're brain dead if that doesn't happen. Also, too, be a steward of strength / gatekeeper. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we'll just blast the door open, period. Also, too, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We take it 2 steps further, and we believe in you, and we got your back. And how many people would say that today? Probably pretty much not many. Also, too, I think that's everything. Dr. Wong, once again, another classic for the record books. It was great. Thank you for coming on. It's always an honor to have you here, sir.
Thank you for having me on board, Eric.
Anytime. You'll be here forever as far as I'm concerned. So for Dr. William Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll get him on again in July. But in the meantime, go out and be men. Find your balls, okay? And don't let anybody out there neuter you. Do you understand, everybody? Do not let anyone neuter you. Go out and build the biggest set of bowling ball nuts you could ever see in your life, where you can't even walk because you're endowed like that. It's very important. Keep your strength, keep your stamina, and most of all, be a man. Be a man. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.